Hello and welcome to Wattcast. My name is Roger Watson, and these podcasts are dedicated to readings of various articles that I've had published in newspapers and magazines. They reflect my views on politics, the pandemic, and current affairs. Thank you very much for listening. Blood Sacrifice. This is my column for TCW Defending Freedom of the 25th of May 2023. The damp squib that was COVID-19 and the subsequent concern about long COVID are in stark contrast to reality. The dire predictions of hospitals being packed, many were not, millions of dead in the UK alone, it never happened, and the fact that long COVID may not even exist, 50% of people reporting it have never even had COVID-19, and there's an international disagreement about what even constitutes long COVID. This is also in stark contrast to the lack of concern about vaccine harms. Even when vaccine harms are observed in abundance, they are downplayed and couched in reassuring terms, with comments along the lines of, no medication is without its side effects, the numbers are very small and the benefits outweigh the harms. It must be borne in mind that the vaccine was sold to us as being safe, it is clearly not, and effective, which is a blatant misrepresentation of the data. With reference to COVID-19 vaccines, the CDC said, serious safety problems are rare and long-term side effects unlikely. Moreover, given the very low risk of serious infections or death in the vast majority of people, a COVID-19 vaccine as a population health measure was probably completely unnecessary. A recent Swedish study published in the BMJ exemplifies the downplaying of vaccine harms by claiming that, despite observing a 22 to 33% increase in vaginal bleeding amongst postmenopausal women after a third dose of COVID-19 vaccine compared with the unvaccinated group, this does not provide any substantial support for a causal association between SARS-CoV-2 vaccination and healthcare contacts related to menstrual or bleeding disorders. Really? That the risk of such bleeding was greater with three rather than one or two doses of vaccine suggests a cumulative effect. The study has already been referred to by Alex Berenson, who highlighted the research finding that the increased bleeding lasted for 3 months following the third shot of the vaccine. Why are the results being downplayed given the level of reports and the associated pain and discomfort from such bleeding? A further distressing point is that in a small percentage of cases, disturbed menstrual bleeding can be indicative of gynecological cancer. The Swedish team also reported increased reports of menstrual disturbances in younger women, but this was less marked. Berenson, however, pointed to the medical news and brief section of JAMA, which claimed erroneously that the Swedish researchers had not found the jabs caused menstrual changes in women under 45. Berenson makes an excellent point regarding the study, saying that the study only captured bleeding episodes severe enough to lead to a new formal diagnosis from a doctor. Women with moderate bleeding would be likely to treat it themselves. This downplaying is not new. With regard to the link between COVID-19 vaccines and irregular or severe vaginal bleeding, the MRHA has continued with its complacency, not veering from such anodyne words as evidence from the most recent review suggested a possible association between the Pfizer and Moderna COVID vaccines and heavy menstrual bleeding. The events were mostly non-serious and were temporary in nature. The product information for the Pfizer and Moderna COVID-19 vaccines has been updated to add heavy menstrual bleeding as a possible side effect. So that's okay then. It's just part and parcel of what to expect. Whilst uncomfortable or distressing, period problems are extremely common, and stressful life events can disrupt menstrual periods, so that's okay too. And finally, from this outpost of the Ministry of Information, the following non-sequitur. Changes to the menstrual cycle have also been reported following infection with COVID-19 and in people affected by long COVID. And? Considering the sample size of the Swedish data, over 2 million Swedish women aged 12 to 74 years were included, and the 20%+ reporting this adverse reaction against the only 182 suspected such reactions recorded between September 1, 2022 and February 2, 2023 by the MRHA's yellow card system, this suggests a significant, if not massive, underreporting of post-COVID-19 vaccine disturbed menstruation and postmenopausal vaginal bleeding in the UK. The final word should go to the husband of a woman who has suffered such a COVID-19 vaccine side effect and who wrote to Alex Berenson, "My wife hasn't fully recovered almost 2 years later. It has totally changed her monthly period, it lasts longer, and the flow is much more intense. Try telling her the side effect is mostly non-serious and temporary in nature."
This podcast was produced in association with youthpublications.com.